tonight a meeting at UNF that will feature a panel of education experts, including Superintendent Dr. Nicolae Vitti and others. What's going to be happening, Trey?
Well, we really think it's important, as Common Core is coming to the forefront in the media, for the community to have a better understanding as to what these standards are, why they're so important, how they're college and career ready and college and career aligned. And so we wanted to bring the community together to learn a bit more about the standards and then have a chance to advocate in support of them.
Let's explain for those who haven't followed this closely what Common Core actually is.
Sure. So Common Core is the set of what are students expected to learn at any given grade level in English language arts and in math. It's the baseline of what kids are expected to know. It is not curriculum, which is what materials are actually being used. That's still a local decision, but it is the what. So are you expected to learn 2+2 addition in fourth grade or something like that?
And we'll go to your calls in just a moment about the new Common Core State Standards for Education at 549-2937. In recent weeks, Governor Scott has sort of, I think it's fair to say, backed away somewhat from his embrace of the Common Core standards. There has been some pressure from his right flank. Some Republicans in Tallahassee have pushed back against these standards. Critics of Common Core say it amounts to a federal takeover of education. We've hosted on this program State Board of Education Chairman Gary Chartrand. He's working on public hearings about Common Core around the state, such as the one tonight. What's your response to those who feel that these standards are intrusive and they have an ideological problem with them?
Yeah, I would encourage people to look at the actual standards. They were developed by teachers and educators across all 50 states through a collaboration between the National Governors Association and the Council of Chief State School Officers. The Federal Education Department did not play a role in the writing of those standards, and I think when you look at them, they're actually very strong. They ask kids to learn. They're fewer standards, but they ask kids to think a lot more deeply, to critically think, and to really apply the knowledge as opposed to just regurgitate things they've memorized.
And this will change the way they're tested?
Eventually.
Correct?
I think that's a follow-on discussion that we expect to see in the spring, but the hope is that there will be some sort of assessment that's given in multiple states around the country. So for the first time, we may really be able to compare apples to apples. How are Florida students doing versus students in Massachusetts or in Virginia or in Nevada?
Is Florida going to fully adopt Common Core, Trey, or will politics result in Florida adopting a different set of standards? A few states have done that.
Yeah, a few have. In Florida, Florida has adopted the Common Core state standards. They were adopted in 2010. The governor has asked the State Board of Education to take a look at that and just make sure that there was not federal overreach, as he says. And I think what you'll see over the next couple of months, I hope, is that the State Board of Education confirm that there was not federal overreach and confirm that Florida is committed to adopting the Common Core state standards.
And if you're just joining the program, we're speaking live right now with Trey Czar, Executive Director of the Jacksonville Public Education Fund. Tonight at UNF, an open meeting so that the public can better understand the new Common Core state standards for education. We want your calls and comments right now about Common Core. What are your questions? 549-2937 to join the program. Peter in Jacksonville. Hi, Peter. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. My question is quite simple. What exactly is the role of the federal government in these Common Core standards? If there is no role in setting the standards or in implementing the standards, then the advocates of Common Core should come out and say that and scotch this federal overreach nonsense once and for all instead of dancing around the issue. Thank you.
And that's Peter in Jacksonville. Thanks for the call, Peter.
Peter, I can just say, the feds were not involved in the crafting of these standards. Many educators across.
How has that meme taken hold?
It's a good question. I mean, certainly the education department at the federal level supports Common Core state standards. They are stronger. They are more college and career aligned. I mean, there's lots of good things. And so I think that most educators, most superintendents, most state school officers support Common Core. And I think we've just we've sort of had this media firestorm kind of that's happened as certain elements of the community have sort of adopted this. Well, it's all about the feds. I mean, we hear about Obamacare. It doesn't make any sense.
Obamacare. Interesting. Well, is it? Could it perhaps be suffering from an accident of timing in that there we've had this huge national battle and conversation over healthcare reform? Critics of that see it as an unwanted federal intrusion into their lives. Now the public is absorbing new state standards for education and perhaps incorrectly conflating that with healthcare, even though it's apples and oranges.
I mean, there's some who would certainly argue that. I think that, you know, when we look at the old standards in Florida versus these new Common Core state standards, the old standards would have required you as a student to memorize the ingredients and the procedure for baking a red velvet cake. And the new Common Core state standards actually require that student to bake the cake and successfully bake the cake. So it's deeper level of thinking, more application.
That's an interesting analogy. Hopefully that helped all of the listeners out there get a better feel for what we're talking about on the program this Monday morning on First Coast Connect. What are your questions about the new Common Core state standards for education? A public meeting on this is happening tonight at UNF. It's 549-2937 to join the program. Kimberly in Jacksonville, thanks for holding. Kimberly, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. My question relates to how this core is going to specifically affect their grades, because what I've heard is that it's going to be 30% at the end of the year. The end of the year test called an EOC is going to be 30% of their grade. And they just went through the first round of quarterly tests. I guess they're in here in Duval County, they're calling them UGAs. Now, the Common Core is a set of pretty vague standards with no set book. And so students did really, really poorly on their quarterly exams, especially in the social studies arena. And I know science is today. And I'm pretty worried about my son's score because teachers, they have access to sort of a vague set of standards. And there's not a lot of definition. There's no one book that's used. So I don't mind the standards being tougher or who dictates the standards. But I don't think the teachers, students, or parents really have the access to the information to what is going to exactly be on the test. And I understand that they're supposed to be make them think more in depth. But my child is seeing vocabulary words on a civics test that he's never seen before in his life. They're not in the book. He doesn't know them.
Okay.
And how is he supposed to pass?
And that's Kimberly in Jacksonville. Thank you for the call, Kimberly.
Yeah, thank you, Kimberly. I think first and foremost, this is just critical for everyone to understand, is that Common Core state standards are only in English language arts and math. So any social studies or science standards are Florida state standards and have been and expect will be for some time to come. She's right in that there is no, in any of the Common Core work, there is no one single book. I actually think that's a strength of the standards, and it allows teachers to adapt their instruction and their curriculum to the interests and needs of their local students. There's a standard about telling the difference between nonfiction and fiction text. And so I was talking to a teacher recently who teaches first grade, who pulled her students on Talk Like a Pirate Day and took them all to the library. They checked out all the books they could find on pirates and then came back to the classroom and read those books and sorted them into two piles of fiction and informational text versus nonfiction story text. You could see how that Talk Like a Pirate Day would never have been mentioned in the Common Core state standards, but that is the teacher knowing that her students are in love with pirates, would be very interested in a lesson about pirates, and therefore applying those standards in a very rigorous way.
And so it does give teachers, you think, more latitude to teach in a more creative, independent way?
I think it certainly gives them an equivalent amount of creativity.
Let's go to Beth in St. Augustine. Hi, Beth. How are you today?
Hi. I'm doing well. I'm actually a student at FSCJ in Jacksonville, and I'm pursuing to transfer to UNF to get my bachelor's for elementary education. So I have a lot of knowledge with the Common Core. The one thing that I have to say about Common Core is I think it would be great if every state in the United States adopted the Common Core so that we could all be on the same level on, what we're teaching to our students. And I honestly think that the Common Core is great. I think it's a great way for teachers to, be more inventive on the type of, the type of things they teach their kids in the classroom that are implemented in the Common Core. But it would be nice to see, civics added to it. And other various subjects besides just math and English.
Besides math and English. Thanks for that, Beth. Trey, will that happen at some point?
I mean, right now there's been no discussion from the same group of people. There is a group of science teachers that's talking about next generation science standards, but that's a completely separate effort. But I just, Beth, I just wanted to first say thank you for being a teacher, and hopefully for teacher candidates, it'll allow teachers a bit more flexibility in where they choose to work, so that if you get a degree in Jacksonville and you decide you want to go teach in another state, you know the standards. You don't have to relearn the standards when you move to a new state.
We've got a retired teacher on the line. It's Joan. Hi, Joan. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning to you.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm a retired teacher, recently retired, and I am in support of Common Core. Common Core standards are really wonderful. The way they're supposed to be taught are wonderful. Unfortunately, all of the EOCs and the testing, think links, and all that kind of stuff takes so much time, and it does drive curriculum, and it takes away from the Common Core. I think parents, in my opinion, from my experience, Common Core is great. It's not the problem. Everybody thinks the standards are the problem. It's not. It's all the testing and the time it takes to prepare for that. That takes away from the classroom, that makes it difficult to really implement Common Core in the way it needs to be implemented.
Because there's too much of a focus on testing, you think?
Absolutely.
Thanks for that.
Way too much.
And that's a retired teacher calling in from the road this morning. Joan, thank you. You certainly hear that from teachers across the spectrum.
Yeah,
Trey.
And it's an issue. And what Superintendent Vitti would say, and I hope most progressive leaders would say of school systems, is that we need to get back to focusing on learning. And when we do that and we educate kids well and they learn how to apply the knowledge as opposed to just memorize and repeat the knowledge, the test will take care of itself. I think for far too long, the adults in the system, and this is not Jacksonville specific, but across the country, have thought that if we can just cram one more test prep worksheet into kids' heads, they'll perform better on the test. Well, if we focus on making sure that students are learning, they'll do better on the test.
And here's a follow-up question from a teacher named Chris. He emailed the show. He has two questions about Common Core. First, he wants to know, how much will it cost? I've read for Florida alone, additional costs will be in the hundreds of millions, and that's from the pro-Common Core Fordham Institute. He also writes, how does Common Core address poverty? That's the number one problem facing our schools. Kids that live in poverty don't do as well as those that don't. As long as we continue to ignore poverty, then all we're doing is throwing money down a hole. As far as I can tell, Common Core continues to ignore poverty.
Yeah.
Two questions on Common Core there.
And both really good questions. I think to the first one around cost, it's hard to estimate right now, but Florida spends a little bit over $20 a student on testing. This cost for the standards is much harder to estimate because it's teacher training and it's actual instruction. It's things that schools should be spending money on, professional development. And so the expectation right now is that it should not cost the state of Florida a significant amount more than what they're currently spending, particularly when you look at the testing. In relation to the second point about poverty, I mean, I think the key here is that education is the piece that will break that cycle of poverty. And we have to figure out, how do we educate kids in a way that are going to get them to not only to high school graduation, but to and through high school graduation and into some sort of post-secondary program, whether that is the military, whether that is a workforce program at Florida State College, or whether that's into a four-year degree program at a local university. Because without some sort of post-secondary training, I mean, in the 21st century, a young person is going to have a really difficult time supporting themselves and their family.
We're already seeing, though, with this latest round of tests regarding the FCAT, they had to fudge the test results, in effect, because students' scores dropped so sharply when they changed the standards. Now we're going to have even more rigorous standards, which I think most people would agree we need to compete globally. Yet many children are not going to be able to meet those standards.
We've started to see this across the country. I mean, when we increase the standards, scores are going to drop temporarily. And we've seen this as we went from FCAT, from the Sunshine State standards to the next generation Sunshine State standards. When we expect more out of our kids, initially we'll see a bit of a decline. But what we then see is that when teachers and principals and the school systems align their instruction around these new standards, kids learn more.
They meet the higher bar.
And I think that's the exciting part, is to have the patience and have the fortitude to say that we're willing to accept a short-term decrease in test scores, knowing that our kids are not getting dumber, and in hopes of and expectations of a greater future.
Rick in Jacksonville is on the line. Hi, Rick. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Good morning. My question is, you alluded to testing wasn't an integral part, but the last few minutes you've been talking about testing. First of all, in Florida, how did you set the baseline standards to measure against the student? What schools were used in Florida to establish this baseline standard to determine if a student's going to pass or not?
Rick, thanks for that question.
So, Rick, I think let's talk about the standards. And so, the standards were set with what is the expected knowledge that a student needs to know in 12th grade in order to be able to take the next step on to some sort of post-secondary training, and those are called anchor standards. And then from those anchor standards, if you need to know this in 12th grade, what do you need to know in 11th and 10th, all the way down to kindergarten? And so that's how the standards were formulated. Regarding the testing, I think assessment is an important part of the whole system, but it's still a topic for further discussion. I would encourage people who are concerned about the testing to go online and look up either PARCC, P-A-R-C-C, or Smarter Balanced. They both have sample questions posted online, and I think when you look at them, you know, they're much deeper questions. It's much more, tell me how you got to this answer, you know, and you can just quickly see from looking at what potential questions there may be, that it's really talking about a whole nother level of knowledge.
Critical thinking is at the heart of this, encouraging critical thinking in our students.
Critical thinking and the application of knowledge. So not just that you know how to add two-digit numbers, but that you can apply that in a real-world situation.
Calls from across the listening area meantime. Let's go out to Atlantic Beach. Good morning, Greg. Hi, Greg. Go ahead. All right, Greg, if you couldn't stay with us, give us a call back. Mark on the UNF campus is on the line as well. Good morning, Mark. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
All right, thanks.
I know that we're only really bringing in Common Core for English Language Arts and Math for Duval County or for Florida right now, but I could easily see a time where we bring on all the Common Core standards just to meet demands or just keep up with the rest of the country. What does Common Core do to address the evolution of a knowledge base based on technological evolution that we see every day? Or really just what employers are looking for in industry and what the universities are looking for in their students. Does it address any of those evolutionary needs and knowledge?
Thank you for that. That's an excellent question.
Thanks, Mark. It's a great question. Very, very deep question. And any standards, I mean, they're not carved in stone. I think that part of this we have to understand is that the world does change. And so certainly we've revisited the Florida Sunshine State standards every five to seven years to say what's changed in the world and what do kids need to know now in order to be successful. And we expect the same thing to happen with Common Core. This is the first iteration. You know, sometime in the future, I don't know when that time will be, should there be tweaks to those standards such that they can continue to keep up with what's expected?
Let's go to another Joan. It's Joan in Jacksonville. Good morning, Joan. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. As a retired teacher, one of my concerns was that federal money comes into each state and into each district based on poverty level, based on free lunch, and also based on test scores. In Washington State, maybe 20% of the children passed the math level for the Washington State standards. In Florida, maybe 50% passed the math standard for Florida. But there's no, it's apples to oranges. There's no common core that says the children in Washington are doing as well as the children in Florida because they all have different tests. They all have the different standards. This allows every state to work towards the same standard so that you do have an across-the-board equivalent. The child that leaves Washington State and goes to Florida to go to school, he's leaving with the same standards in place. So you know that you get a child that is on the same page no matter what state they're coming from. And the money is distributed based on everybody being on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a teaching curriculum. It's a goal. It's like in football. We have a goal. The coach decides how he's going to get the touchdown. That's the district curriculum. That's the classroom curriculum. But the goal is the same for every state, every child. And I think it's great that we finally come to this. Thank you.
Thank you, Joan. And of course, that is the stated goal of all this, uniformity across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Uniformity in expectation, not uniformity in application or in materials, but uniformity in expectation, because kids are competing in not only a national labor market when they get out of high school, but an international labor market.
And what are the states, again, Trey, that are not going with Common Core?
There's a handful. Texas is the biggest one, and we'll let people make their own judgments as to why that is. But right now, 45 of the 50 states have said they're likely to adopt Common Core.
Few more calls. Let's get them on the air. Johnny in Washington Heights. Hello, Johnny. How are you?
Hey, Melissa. I'm doing. How are y'all doing this morning?
Great.
Okay. My question is, first let me make a statement. My primary school was pretty much a predominantly white school. Secondary, it was a predominantly black school. I'm a University of Florida alumnus, but I've spent some time at Florida A&M. Did the core... did they take into account the cultural differences of the classrooms and the students, which I've noticed is a big difference in the learning?
Thank you for that question, Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny, I think the interesting thing there is I think that cultural difference really comes in terms of in the selection of instructional materials. So what novels do you choose for your sixth grade English class to read? And that is a district and school-based decision. And I think that and having taught in schools that were predominantly African-American and having attended schools that were predominantly white, I think you can find books that reach different kids at different stages in their lives, and I think that's really a tremendous opportunity.
So that'll be left up to the
individual
teacher or district.
Yeah.
Mark is on the road and on the line with us. Hi, Mark. Are you there? Oh, we lost Mark. Let's take one more call. It's Bill in Mandarin. Good morning, Bill. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I've got a little concern about this. I think the SAT, ACT scores will reflect how successful this program will be. I believe there's a definite concentration of IQ by kids in different states. Those states that have, sadly, the lower IQ concentration will eventually opt out because their group overall will not perform as well. What are your thoughts?
Thank you, Bill.
It's a really interesting question. I think regarding the SAT, ACT point, both of those test makers have said that they are going to realign their tests to those anchor standards so that SAT and ACT agree that the 12th grade standards are what kids should know in 12th grade, and therefore we'll be testing in large part on those to determine whether kids are prepared for college and career. Related to the second question, I think it's an interesting thought. I mean, until we have something that allows us to compare apples to apples in multiple states, we can't possibly know the answer to that question. And I think that's one of the really exciting points about this is we'll finally be able to see that a fourth grader who is reading proficiently in Mississippi is equally performing to a kid who's reading proficiently in the state of Florida or in the state of Massachusetts.
Well, if you're just tuning in, there will be a Florida community meeting tonight about the new Common Core State Standards for Education. It's happening at the UNF University Center beginning at 5:30 tonight. The panel will feature Dr. Vitti, superintendent of Duval County Public Schools, and Trezar. The idea is not just to raise awareness, but get the community involved,
correct? The Florida Department of Education has asked for community members to comment on the standards. Do they support them? Do they oppose them? What do they like? What do they dislike? And so the idea with this event tonight is to inform the community about what Common Core State Standards are and give them an opportunity to voice that opinion to the decision makers. And for those folks who can't make it tonight, they can certainly go onto our website at jaxpef.org. And if you go /support the core, it'll take you right to a page that will allow you to speak your mind to the Department of Education officials who are soliciting this feedback.
We'll have more about this on our website as well. Trezar, Executive Director of the Jacksonville Public Education Fund. Always great to see you. Thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.